I think when we get to a place where we didn't grow up with anything, we strive to have everything so we can give everything. But I think that is the single most detrimental thing you can do to a child, whether it's giving them nothing or giving them everything. So I think just trying to pass on those intangibles, right? And I know myself, I hold myself such a hard and tough standard, like a freaking David Goggins, that I'm so fearful of doing that to like my offsprings or even people that are under my leadership umbrella. So I just try to embrace vulnerability and talk about that a lot with Cam. Like, one of the things I admire about her is like, she's vulnerable, she's real, you know? So I think just passing on those intangibles, right, of just taking risks, you know, being present, which I struggle with a lot because of the business. I'm always thinking one step ahead, right, and business mindset. So just passing that, being present, and just, I think our job as like parents is just strictly to love. Like, even if we teach, we can teach this, we can do this, we can comfort them, we can provide security, but I'm striving myself to just love.
Welcome back to the Pursuit of Property podcast. Today, we have Devaniel Adams on the pod. It has taken a couple months trying to get this boy scheduled to come into the office. He's been in Utah. He's been overseas in Italy, partying it up with our boy Keith the Meat. And now we finally got him in the office. My boy, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm blessed. How are you guys?
Doing good, man. Super pumped for this pod. And obviously, just kind of want to start with your background in real estate. What are you doing now? How did you get to where you are? And why even real estate as opposed to something else?
Great question, man. I thought the same thing when I jumped in. But I've always came from an entrepreneurial mindset type of background. My dad, not in my life now, but just early on, he's always explored the entrepreneurial route, right? So I've always been entrepreneurial minded. Went to Fresno State, grew up in Los Angeles, South Central Los Angeles, moved to Fresno to attend Fresno State to get my degree in business. And I've always followed all these big guys, Ed Milet, David Goggins, all these guys, successful entrepreneurs that had businesses, but they had one thing in common. It was real estate. None of my family owns homes. I don't know anything about it. Now I do. But prior to, I did not, but I knew there was a common denominator, right? So I was working at the casino, Table Mountain, shift supervisor, climbing up the ladder. I had some mentors there that actually was just like, hey, real estate, real estate. I'm like, dude, what makes you think I can buy a $300,000 house? Like, I barely have $30 in my bank, you know? And they all pointed towards it. So I'm like, you know what? Let me take a bet on myself. I'm getting too complacent in life. And I just felt the need to push myself a little bit. So started doing my research. Fast forward a little bit. Reached out to Darren and Cam, some of the most genuine, just hardworking people that took a chance on me with no license or anything. Ended up learning from them. Fast forward, getting my license, being licensed, practicing just the retail side of real estate for, I would say, probably a little over a year, and started to venture into investing more. That was always the end goal, right? And fast forward, me and my partner were managing a successful investing and wholesaling company.
Dude, that is a lot to cover in like one quick answer. When did you start this journey?
I want to say this was between 2 and 3 years.
Years to get from not knowing anything about real estate to where you're at now.
Yeah.
Dude, that's fast.
And did you start while you were still in college, or did you graduate before you got into real estate? Was there any overlap there?
Overlap for sure. Yeah, started so while in college.
When did you graduate?
I'm still doing it.
Dude, yeah. Let's go. When are you supposed to graduate?
Slow pace. Lord knows when. Lord knows when, bro. I'm still like, priority is the business, getting the business degree in admin, entrepreneurship, and a minor in real estate. Focus is the business, but like slowly. So,
dude, so this is a good talking point. Are you over halfway? Are you less for than sure. half? Okay, so you're over halfway.
Two semesters, I would say.
Okay, so is the thought process here, because when we talk about college, right? Obviously, you're running a successful business with your partner in real estate, wholesaling, investments, and then you still have college, your degree over at Fresno State you're still chipping away at. What's the thought process in wanting to finish versus just leaving it behind and not stressing out about it?
It's a great question because I have a unique idea about college. Like, I don't think it's not necessary, but for certain career paths, I would say it's not priority. However, I took that start. My mom made the investment into me, the time, the energy, the money, and I did myself. And I really don't like starting things and not finishing. I feel like if I was to just put it aside and quit, that would take more of a negative impact on my mindset rather than if I was just continue on at a slower pace in the background rather than real estate being the first thing. So that's kind of where I'm at now. It's definitely not priority, and I won't put it first before the business and like these life skills and leadership things and that I'm learning that I feel are more applicable in real life. Mm-hmm. But I just definitely want to finish it because I made that investment and I'm so close, and it's just good. I probably won't hang it up anywhere. I probably would shove it under the desk. But
I made it a good chunk of the way through. I don't know if I'm halfway, but I left it behind, and my wife and I have talked about it a few times. Like, do I go back? Do I not go back? I view it the same way as you. It's like, for me, if I were to go back, it's going to be as a personal achievement, not as a requirement to do what I want to do. And I think it doesn't mean that it's useless, but it does mean, like what you're saying, obviously we're putting our time in to actually make money, learn the real life skills now, and the benefit of college is that it's going to still be there when you have time.
All right. Getting a return on your investment.
Dude, so you start with two of probably the most genuine people in, you know, when we talk about Central Valley real estate investments, retail, everything, Darren and Cam over at the Strive team, and everybody on the team, just really, really good people. Right? Was it cold outreach to them? Did you know somebody who knew them? How did that kind of kickstart you getting started on the team and working with your license?
Great question. So just taking action, it was cold. So I started researching, you know, investing, real estate, wholesaling, you know, being a realtor, those things, seeing what would be the best avenue. Figured that just me, myself, knowing myself, even though I think the world of myself, that I need to get my license because it's going to force me to build the capital in order to invest, to build the relationships, which naturally introverted, I'm not going to do, and force me to learn the curriculum as well, right? So got my license. So I started, okay, let me find people who are high achieving in the area, but also ethical, right? Before anything, I like to say people over profits, right? If you are in the best interest of people and you focus on that, like, the profits will follow. So I wanted people who embody that. So I'm just literally on Google, everyone's popping up, whatnot. I'm like, okay, cool. Of course, I see Darren pop up, and I'm like, okay, great. Let me check him out, see some similarities there. I always tell him this story, and it's funny. I'm like, dude, I stalked you. Like, I went on your social media, on your Facebook, on your Instagram, was literally looking at everything, and I noticed something that he never praised himself. He always posted about his clients, his team, and I like that. And I seen the servant mentality in him and in Cam. So I literally found their email. I forgot how I found it, but I found their email. Probably two people searched it. And sent them a DM like, hey, you know, I have no experience. I don't even have my license. But selling myself, like, I'm ambitious. I'm this year. I'm doing this in college. And I would love to just come learn from you and figure out how I can add value to you. And I think 3 months later, probably a long time, I got an email from the director of operations at the time saying like, hey, come in, come shadow, and fast forward to joining the team.
And this whole time you're going to school and working at the casino?
So I ended up leaving the casino. So great income. I had to, like, I believe I had like the red carpet laid out for me, but I wanted bigger and more. So I ended up leaving the casino to get a part-time job at Meehan Movers. And from there I had enough time on my hands. So I was working at Meathead Movers, going to school and shadowing 2-3 times a week, where that's the first time I actually met, or not met you, but you probably don't remember. I met you and I seen you guys when you were with the Clayson Group at KW.
Dude, what a freaking throwback.
You guys were in there early.
Call. Yeah. Yeah. We've been grinding for a little bit now. It's interesting that you bring up that you cold outreach and you volunteered to bring value to them. Was that something that, like, somebody taught you, or was that, where did that idea come from?
So I believe I've always tried to embrace the servant mentality. Like I mentioned, I feel like one of our core business models and just values, which is servant mindset. I think just growing up as a Christian and in my faith, you know, we learn, like Jesus, it's all about serving. How can you serve others? So always, anything that I do, I try to just be like, hey, how can I serve you? You know, so I figured, you know, if I want value from someone, it has to be reciprocated. And actually, you probably should look to just add value with nothing else in return. So I just try to embrace that. And in my favor and God's grace, they responded back.
And we agree with you 100%. We preach this on the podcast all the time. But the other part to it is, you were wise enough, you said it already, that you already believed the world about yourself. It wasn't that there's no world where Devaniel couldn't go do this on his own, but you still also went and worked with a team when that's not a requirement to get into the business. Like, was that something that was pitched to you, or was that something that you concluded on your own? Have you had experience going to mentors before? Like, help me understand why that came to your mind.
So, being honest, I didn't know it was a team. I just knew, like, wherever Dan and Karen, we'd say that a lot, Darren and Cam are, I just wanted to be there. When we switched brokerages, I'm like, sure, wherever, you know? So when they did introduce the idea of the team and I was able to concoct it, I knew collaboration is how you win, you know? It's easier to grow together rather than by yourself. So it's pretty much that.
Dude, and segueing into, right, you started the very same way we did, starting on a team, right, figuring out a way to provide value, surrounding yourself with great mentors who are figureheads in the business, do business the right way. And then now, you said you now run kind of an investment wholesale company with a business partner. I remember going back to the point where, you know, you mentioned an analogy earlier before the pod, like kind of spreading your wings, mm-hmm. right? And taking what you've learned and what you know and having to take that uncomfortable leap to now try to run things on your own and kind of leave the nest, right? Can you kind of explain what your thought process was? Because I remember for us, it's scary, dude. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there comes a time and there comes a point where we have to try and make that leap in order to take that next step of growth. So explain a little bit how that thought process was and how you kind of walked that out.
Absolutely. So it was tough. I mean, just like you guys mentioned, as much as ambitious we are and self-confident we are, it's tough. I also gave them the analogy when I was having this conversation that it's almost like when you're going away for college, right? You're at your parents' home, you live with your parents, and you know you have to grow up and start adulting. Some of it seems cool, but some of it, you know, that it's going to be tough. You're probably still going to be calling them 24/7. So it's almost a bittersweet thing. You're leaving comfort and it's tough, but I feel like in the areas of most resistance is where growth happens. And I've seen that in my life. So I knew it was something that needed to happen. You may not have everything figured out. I didn't have everything figured out, but I had to take the bet on myself just as they did at some point as well, just like other mentors in my life and other people we look up to as well. So it was just, I mean, it was tough. It was tough.
And yeah, go
ahead. Well, what was tough about it?
Change. Change is always tough, simply put.
It's interesting you say that because it sounds like you've had a lot of change. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never left Fresno. I've always lived here. You've always lived here? Mm-hmm. You grew up in LA and mm-hmm. you left family to come here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that would probably be pretty hard. I mean, it's not that far, but it's a new city and new place. I mean, is the change get easier as you're doing more of it, or is it still pretty difficult?
It's probably just knowing how new I am in the business. I think change in this industry, life change, I'm used to. For whatever reason in my mind, I was not translating it over to business, right? The same skill sets, the same mentality that I had in like life. And even though it's the same, I just didn't translate over for me. And it wasn't like extremely hard, right? Because I knew I had to do and I knew a time was going to come and I knew I would be okay. But it was just something that I just had to take the jump at.
Mm. Well, and talk about what you and your partner are doing now. Obviously, it sounds like you're still licensed and you mm-hmm. hold your license to help other people buy and sell real estate on the retail market. But it sounds like the main focus is in that investment umbrella, wholesaling, right. Fix and flipping. One, why more of the focus on kind of that investment side? What's intriguing you guys, you and your business partner, towards there? And two, how have things gone since kind of working this out and getting that ball rolling since kind of leaving the nest and spreading your wings?
Absolutely. So why investing in wholesaling? It's the reason why we're in the business, the reason why I'm in the business is for one, to embrace the serving mentality. Where am I put where I feel like I can serve the best, right? And it comes down to time, right? So having that leverage of time, having the financial freedom, the ability, again, of leverage. So I feel like it's easy and it's more scalable on the investment side. So coming from a business background, I just feel like it's more of a lucrative thing to try. And now at a financial standpoint, it's higher, it yields higher profit margins. I feel like deals are more difficult to come across on the investment side rather than the retail, but the turnaround from point, you know, acquiring the lead or the client to closing and getting paid is just different. And then the profit margins are, you know, 10K or 8K versus, you know, 30K, 40K. Mm-hmm. So it's easily scalable. It'll put me into the position where, you know, I can generate passive income eventually with the rental properties and even the business itself and be able to do more philanthropy type work, open businesses where I feel like my passion really lies. Now, fast forwarding to how we're doing now, I mean, we had a little bit of success and we did a lot of restructuring to our business model, a lot of additions as well, a lot of changes. And again, change is good, right? But you hate it. And I would say a couple months prior to leaving the team, we had a proof of concept and consistency. So it wasn't that hard to bet on ourselves because we've already seen that. And fast forward, we're continuing doing the same, continue to increase our projected growth, and we're doing well.
Yeah, I see you guys competing a lot on deals. I mean, we've talked a few times. Like, yeah. This is the fun part about the business is when you know the other buyers,
yeah.
When a seller says, oh, I'm talking to Devaniel, I'm not really concerned about the seller's well-being. Right. Like if the seller works with you, I feel very confident that things are going to get taken care of correctly. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fun. It makes it not as stressful. You feel that? Like mm-hmm. When I hear like a person that I know is the other buyer, there's no concern about like, oh, if I lose this deal, blah, blah, blah. It's like, may the best man win kind of a thing. And it's like, let's get out there and get after it. And, you know, ultimately it leads to some competition, but you grew up playing sports?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like a lot like that. When you play your buddy on another team, it still sucks to lose because there's the competitive aspect, yeah. But it's not like you really lost. Like right. The seller's still going to win.
Right.
Right. And I think we both come from the same spot of wanting what's right for the seller at the end of the day.
Right.
But no, it's cool. And you said you got some consistency. What does that look like for your guys' business?
It's really great. So we typically average anywhere from 22.5 to maybe 25K per assignment. We're probably doing anywhere from 4 to 5. And we kicked up our marketing, so we should be projecting to do around 5-6 a month. So it's pretty consistent for us. It definitely keeps us busy where we're having to add additions and scale.
That's it, dude. I mean, 5 or 6 a month is a lot. How are you guys handling that growth? I mean, to go from how many were you doing a year ago? Consistently.
I think I maybe just had one the whole year.
You had one and now you're doing 5 or 6 at a time?
Right.
So what is that like? That I mean, we were talking this morning. I mean, it's a lot to keep up on stuff.
It is. It's tough. I mean, everything goes back to systems. We met with you. We start taking it serious. Prior, what we were doing is it was just like it was almost like a hobby, right? Just the idea of making money and being consistent, being successful sounds great, but are you taking it serious? You know, are you putting as much time as you're putting into anything else? So, of course, we met with you. We read mm-hmm. the book Rocket Fuel. We really dialed in on our integrator versus visionary, our roles, our responsibilities, and most importantly, our systems. I feel like it's easy. I wouldn't say easy for us, but it's easier to manage because we have the systems into place mimicking a lot of the things you provided for us and other people in the area and what we've learned going out of town and whatnot. So it's just having those systems in place, channeling it through there. We constantly communicate. I mean, we're having script practice every day. We're having meetings, business meetings where we work on the business rather than in the business Fridays. And we also added a component where we're checking in with our leads 3 times a week. So the systems and the communication is how we successfully continue to operate our business.
Is it just the two of you guys or do you guys have more team members?
Well, we have another team member.
And what's that team member doing?
So he's cold calling and he's also doing a little bit of acquisitions.
Nice. Okay. And then you and your business partner, you talked about kind of the visionary integrator roles. How does that look like in your guys' partnership and in the business? Are you guys both working leads and going on appointments? Is one person kind of handling that? What does that relationship look like?
Yeah, great question. So we're doing, it's funny because I don't feel like either of us are a full-on visionary, a fuller integrator. But I think because we have the great communication and there's a lot of humility there, we don't really clash very often. There's very healthy disagreements, but we have different strong suits, right? Like on my end, it may be more of the integrator type stuff, the accountability, like the hiring, the more roles like that. Her, she's really in love with the numbers and the sales aspect as well. But we're both doing the legwork as far as going on appointments, locking up deals, dispoing them out. We're kind of like 50-50 with nice. It.
Dude, there we go.
Have you guys done any fix and flips yet, or is it mostly wholesale?
Mostly wholesale.
Have you closed on any for a wholesale yet?
We have not. But we're definitely, that's in the business plans. And
what's holding you guys back from that? Because that seems like the next logical step from where you're at.
I would say it's probably the imposter syndrome, if I'm being honest. Just realizing where we are and what we're doing and just how successful we are at it. It's time for the next stage of growth, which we had the conversation with. So it's the fix and flips. It's the holds. It's the hotels.
Yeah, because our wholesales are similar price range, right? You said 20.
22-ish. To 25.
And I think we're in that area in that lower 20s.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And wholesale, I think the biggest difference that you guys would have to overcome is just having the willingness to bring money to the table and close on it. But our average wholesale deal is almost
like 42.
Yeah, it's double. So I think naturally, if you have the volume, maybe start considering like picking up one or two. Just try it. Because I'll tell you, our experience has been pretty pleasant with the wholesale side. You think about what the best buyers list is, right?
Right.
We tell the seller it's the MLS. Like we ourselves as wholesalers often will get it in contract and we're like, 22,000 right now sounds pretty nice.
Sounds good.
But I'll tell you, like a good wholesale deal makes a great wholesale deal and you end up making a little more. You just have to be a little bit patient. Mm-hmm.
I agree. Absolutely. Especially when we're looking at our numbers and we just literally had this conversation because we got back from a mastermind and conference, as I was telling Kate in Utah, and we're like, dude, we have like the past 2 months. So almost this last full quarter, our average has definitely kicked up. That average is based just off the last past previous year. And we're like doing like, I don't even think we've had one that's been lower than 30, to be honest, or 28. So we're like, dude, we're doing this. And we're also making a sweet deal for the investors. They're making 60. So we're like, okay, that's definitely a 80 to 100K per, you know, hotel. So I think it's pushing ourselves beyond our capabilities and living at the edge of our capabilities and meeting with people like you guys and breaking that imposter syndrome and knowing that it's time for that growth and to kind of just jump in and diving in just like we did with our business and have success with it.
Well, and you guys are licensed agents. I'm not recommending that you represent yourself, but you guys know that you can look at the MLS and have an idea of how quickly these things are selling.
All right.
And you know, typically when you're getting a discount, like what you're talking about, where you're able to make a $20,000 or $30,000 rip on a wholesale, it means that you have it at the right price. And the worst case scenario is you sell it a little bit less and you make the same amount as a wholesale. And the best case scenario is we just had one where we probably couldn't have wholesaled it for very much at all, if anything, because it had a tenant. Dude, we did the cash for keys agreement with the tenant and listed it and got 10 more than we were expecting, which was 20 more than we were expecting, which was 10 more than we originally bought it that for what we thought we were going to sell it for. Because in the time it took to get out, the market went up. So I think as the market's changing, it's something for you guys to really consider just because the hardest part is having the money and you guys have enough experience. You guys could go to a lender and easily get the financing to do it.
Dude, I want to shift the tone a little bit because you mentioned something a couple minutes back about wanting to really free up your time to open businesses that focus on your passion. But you didn't really mention what that passion is. I'm kind of catching on, right? You keep talking about kind of this servant mentality, right? It sounds like real estate is a vehicle to get you where you're wanting to go. Where is it that you're wanting to go? What is that passion?
I love diving into this. Man, it's so it starts with me. To give a little backstory on it, growing up South Central Los Angeles, single mother. I wouldn't say we're dirt poor, but we didn't have it great. Don't have a lot of men examples in our family. South Central LA, high poverty rate, high murder rate, things like that. I'm a young African-American male. So I want to geared to something that serves as an outlet in underprivileged communities, right? To basically provide an outlet to those individuals between the age of 13 to 18, typically where the human brain is developing their self-identity, especially as men, of who they are and whatnot, and just basically open up like centers that kind of gear towards helping them with that. And again, we talked about like college and like everything, the Robert Kiyosaki of college, right? Where it's great depending on what you're majoring in and what you're doing, nursing, law, that requires it. But I feel personally that life is just more about hands-on. It's about leadership. It's about emotional intelligence, financial literacy. So I want to be able to provide those things to kids. And it may not be all like suited and booted, like I have to create a company to do it, right? You can literally just go out and have a conversation and do it. But I want to free up my time so I'm able to do that more.
We've had the opportunity to go speak at a couple high schools, and high schools seem to be very, very open to people like yourself coming in, like younger people that are closer in age to the students. Like we've had a decent amount of presentations, and I think there's a lot of teachers who would love to have you on, and I encourage you to just hit them up, because I think those teachers are closer in age to us as well, and they look at it as we're the kind of the experts who can help fill in some of the areas where they can't teach. But that's super cool. And is that like, have you put a timeline on when you want to do that? I guess
I have not, because with real estate being a vehicle, I fell in love with the vehicle. So, I really don't have a timeline, to be honest. It's definitely further out, closer to where, whenever retirement is, I probably should have a timeline for it. But, and I know I can, it's not an excuse. Like I don't need to wait to a 5-year plan comes or a 10-year plan comes out. I can be actively doing it right now with the time and the capital I have.
And is that something you want to be doing locally here in the Valley? Is it something you want to expand and have back in LA where you were born and raised? What does that kind of look like?
I'm open to it. We're just wherever there's underprivileged, you know, under income. And even in areas like Clovis, like there's still people who go through hardship and still lack leadership and outlets, and it's everywhere. So I'm open to anything, wherever God takes me.
Dude. And I mean, like Scott said, not only high schools, but you also have a network, right, with Fresno State and still going to college. I mean, I've even spoken at some Fresno State classrooms to college level students, again, not that much older than high school and even closer in age to where we're at, and being able to tap in, because also everybody that's going to college, not all of them are in a phenomenal spot either, right? Even though they could be going to college and getting that education, there's a lot of people who are not exposed, whether it's in high school, for sure. I remember going through college, there's not a ton of exposure to all of those things that you listed. And so being able to tune in and provide that value to people, dude, that's freaking awesome. I think that is an awesome vision.
Can I ask you this too? You keep mentioning you've gone to a whole bunch of like masterminds and whatnot. Where have you gone this year? Like, what are some of the takeaways you've gotten kind of going out to these places?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of mindset. If you know me, you know, more than anything, even with like my servant mentality, like three words will definitely come to mind. It's discipline, right? Revolving around the mindset, intentionality, and like the servant mindset. So I love going to like these conferences, whether, you know, online or in person, that are structured around the mentality, right? And Jason talks about it all the time, right? It starts with your mental. You can only raise your income or your business to the level in which you yourself, your identity is raised, right? You have to create that cap space for it. So I would say the most intricate thing was actually something that I learned recently, and it's we do not rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems, right? And I know you probably know that, Kay, being a systems man and an integrator. But even in my personal life, you know, how committed I am, how I show up, going to the gym, right? I try to strive myself and, you know, getting up at 4:30 every morning, not because it's cool and no one wants to do that, right? But just being disciplined, because for me, discipline equals freedom, right? And I feel like if I just apply that in my spiritual life, my financial life, my personal life, it'll apply to my business. And when I'm just the best version of myself, I can help the most people.
Dude, we've talked a lot about business. We've talked a lot about your passion and some of your goals. Right now, what's going on outside of real estate for you?
The little time that I have, I That's a hard question. Traveling? Traveling a lot. I have my lady. We've been together a little over a year. We're starting to make things very serious, so that's great. And our daughter we have together. So just growing that, man, just trying to be the best, you know, father that I can, trying to be the best, you know, boyfriend, future fiance that I can. And if it doesn't revolve around real estate or my family or them, I don't really think I have any other time and do anything. That's probably why it took so many months to come here. It's either that or that hogs my time.
Based on your growing up, it sounds like your daughter's experiencing a very different life. What are you going to try to pass on to her from your experience? You know, especially it sounds like the last few years have been pretty influential. I mean, how is that going to translate, you think?
It's all of the intangibles. I think when we get to a place where we didn't grow up with anything, we strive to have everything so we can give everything. But I think that is the single most detrimental thing you can do to a child, whether it's giving them nothing or giving them everything. So I think just trying to pass on those intangibles, right? And I know myself, I hold myself such a hard and tough standard, like a freaking David Goggins, that I'm so fearful of doing that to like my offsprings or even people that are under my leadership umbrella. So I just try to embrace vulnerability and talk about that a lot with Cam. Like, one of the things I admire about her is like, she's vulnerable, she's real, you know? So I think just passing on those intangibles, right, of just taking risks, you know, being present, which I struggle with a lot because of the business. I'm always thinking one step ahead, right? And business mm-hmm. mindset. So just passing that, being present, and just, I think our job as like parents is just strictly to love. Like, even if we can teach this, we can do this, we can comfort them, we can provide security, but I'm striving myself to just love.
Mm. Do you think real estate has made you a better family man? Do you feel like being a father and being that, you know, boyfriend, future fiance has made you better in business? Do you think there is that segue between the two? What does that relationship look like between personal and real estate?
Probably not the person to ask that because I struggle with that. And I'm just being honest and vulnerable, right? For me, they're almost separate and I'm working on integrating them. When I'm in business mode, I'm completely in business mode, and it's even hard for me to have a regular conversation and just talk about like small talk. If you guys even been around me and noticed that, right? And then when I'm with my family, I've done a better job of like disconnecting sometimes and just like being there and everything. So I don't feel real estate has made me a better father. I would say to attribute to that, it's of the gospel, of course, you know, reading and being in that discipline in God. Real estate provides difficulties and challenges for me to overcome, learn, apply, and then apply it to my personal life. So in that aspect, a little bit.
It's hard to turn off the business when you go home, huh?
It is.
Yeah. That's something I have a conversation with at home a lot. It seems as if the people who do very well in this business are always, at least when you look at them, they seem like they always know the next step. And at the end of the day, you end up spinning your wheels at home a lot, huh?
Absolutely.
That seems to be a big one. What have you had to do to kind of unlearn that bad habit?
Systems and intentionality. I go back to that. Those are my pillars. It's systems. So I have literally like just practical things. My phone kicks on do not disturb at a certain time, right? My phone kicks on do not disturb. It comes off. So typically I'm asleep around 9 o'clock. I'm an old man, just so I can get up early. So my do not disturb kicks on about, I want to say 8:30 or so, to just start winding down my mind. And then it also kicks off at like 7 once I've already been up for almost 4 hours. A little bit of that. I try to like grind the days before that I know that I'm going to, you know, go back home to see my family. That way I can feel content disconnecting. And then just little intentional stuff, right? Again, for me, I'm always thinking business. So I tend to miss the little details of the present moment, right? Even if I'm just having a conversation with my lady or my family, I'm just like, I'm literally looking at freaking like escrow emails and they're like telling me, I'm like, oh my gosh. So like, I have a bunch of stuff in my calendar, like, and Keith's big on that. If you guys know, like, he has everything in his calendar from when he brushes his teeth to when he wakes up. So, just small intentional system things that I do to help.
Well, and I feel like that's part of the buildup period too, because it's like you said, with both you and your business partner, you guys are still wearing all the hats. I mean, you guys have one team member who you've kind of delegated that cold calling and lead generating to, but you guys are still wearing all of those freaking hats, man. And there's something to be said about needing to pay those dues. They're for most people, there's no way really to shortcut paying your dues, right? But it's learning all of that and figuring out, okay, how do I delegate this? How do I put a system in place to where that is now on autopilot or requires very little of my time? And I think as you guys especially continue to walk out through the rest of this year, I'm freaking excited to see what you guys do, how your guys' team continues to grow. Because I think by being able to do that, it's going to be able to bring that personal side out a lot more and not having to stress and worry about, hey, do I need to put on the family hat and then take off the family hat or put on the business hat and take off the business hat? Like being able to have that kind of synergy and relationship mm-hmm. between the two.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, and again, I'm so hard on myself. I probably like, if my lady's listening to us around, she's like, no, he does a good job. But like, I'm always trying to grow myself and always trying to be better. And like you mentioned, like it's realizing it's not two different hats. It's cohesively the same hat, right? The same person. And your value proposition isn't in like your skill set or whatever. It's in your identity and finding like what it is that makes you skillful or what it makes you unique and doing that. So the more you can operate in your own identity, the more success you'll have. And our business kicked up when we did that, right? Like we look at like you guys that are killing it or any of our competitors, right? Our friendly competitors, we're like, dang, like, okay, we don't have more skill than them or time or experience or capital, but what do we have? Our value proposition. We love people. We serve people, our work ethic, our mindset.
Well, dude, and you say, you use the phrase like finding your identity. I feel like that's one of the hardest parts, especially in this business or even just in the entrepreneurial space, right? Because it's a lot different than your traditional W-2. Like even now, a little over 5 years in the business, I still feel like I'm trying to figure out like, you know, where I am, how I fit in. It's become more clear, right, as the years have gone on. But I feel like there's an aspect of that that almost never stops, right? Trying to figure out, hey, where do I fit in? What's my skill set? Where do I perform, you know, at the most, at the highest level and provide the most value? So 100%.
And what aligns with your skills, right?
Yeah.
Like your job has to be something you're good at, that you like to do, and that makes money.
Right.
And there's a lot of ways to make money. So you have to be clear on the other two things. You mentioned earlier you're an introvert.
Yeah.
You don't strike me as an introvert. Can you really talk on that a little? Because I feel like I see you in social settings, so maybe that's a little different.
Yeah, maybe. I'm definitely an introvert. I don't know what started that of me just being an introvert, but I really just like to like be by myself. I don't like to be like bothered. I don't like meeting people and whatever. But I like to say, like my coach, Annalise, she's with Stride as well. Great, great coach. If you guys are listening, tune in with her. But she asked me one day, she said, are you a people person? Or like, what kind of person are you? And I was thinking, I was like, I'm a purpose person, right? So regardless of me, you know, the difficulties that I have, or maybe who I am, I'm going to align and I'm going to strive to align with my purpose at all times. So even though I'm naturally an introvert, I know being in business, you have to be an extrovert. You have to meet people. If my purpose is serving others and adding value, I can't do that as an introvert. I'm keeping all the nuggets to myself. Like, right. It literally just takes one conversation of being happy. And me knowing that I have to put on that extrovertism, right? Because I'm in line with my purpose, not what I desire to do, right? And it goes back to like my principles with the Bible and everything.
How difficult is that for you to do?
It was very difficult at first. I'm not going to lie. Like when I grew up, I only worked warehouse jobs because I didn't want teamwork. I didn't want anyone talking to me. I just wanted to put my AirPod in. I don't even think it was AirPods at that time. I wanted to put like my yeah. Like
wired ones. Like yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And I just wanted to like lock in and like grind. So it was difficult, but just like anything, if you suck at something for long enough, it'll become natural and firsthand. So now I would say it's fairly easy. It's almost probably natural.
It doesn't feel like you're putting on a mask.
No.
Yeah. I had that same, because growing up, I was super introverted and I'm 100% not introverted now. But I think it's what you're saying. When you suck at it enough, it gets easier and easier and easier.
Dude, what does the rest of this year hold for you? We are a little over a quarter in to the year, right? Just wrapped up Q1 a little while ago. Do you guys have any goals set for the end of the year? What's kind of the rest of the year looking like?
Business-wise?
Business or personal?
So I touched on personal a little bit. It's pretty much that. It's combining lives with my lady and, you know, taking those next steps, of course, God willing. personal wise, and then and helping her grow as well. You know, she has a thing that she's going. She's a killer. Not many people can hold water with her. So just pushing her into her calling with that. And then on the business side, we have a goal to surpass 1 million this year. So we're on track right now, probably like 890. We're trying to kick it up. So it's doing that. And then it's also like you get, like you mentioned, you get to the point where like, okay, the income, cool, whatever, but you want to get to the point where why we're in this business. It's the leverage, the generational wealth, the tax benefits. So definitely getting hit on that, on getting hit hard on that, on the tax side. So definitely it's hoteling, it's acquiring properties. It's maybe getting my feet wet with a little bit of flips as well.
Well, and I'll warn you, the wholetail and the flip aren't going to help as much as you'd hope. They will give you some write-offs, but have you guys looked at all into just holding property for the long term?
We have. We've just transitioned that, and even wholetailing probably within our last probably month, I would say. Mm. And that's our plan going forward. Every deal that comes to our table, and we get a lot of deals, we're cherry picking, like what makes mm-hmm. most financial sense, whether we do it together or do it ourselves, but we are.
Mm. Dude, our audience is aimed at those people just getting their feet wet in real estate, may have a couple deals under their belt, or those people who have no real estate experience at all and are kind of on the outside looking in, maybe have that interest peaked into entrepreneurship or real estate investing. What would be, if you had to pick a single piece of advice to share with that person who's on the outside looking in, or maybe has a deal or two under their belt, but really doesn't have that understanding of who they are and how they fit in, what would be your piece of advice to them?
It probably would be the advice that I feel was most pivotal for me, right? Everyone says they read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it's a pivotal moment for them. It would just be to be in environments where you want to be, not where you are, what's comfortable. If it's not comfortable, then you need to be there, right? So be in environments where you're not comfortable. For me, that looked like joining Strive, right? So, and someone on the viewers may ask, like, how can I be in that environment, right? Exactly how I did. Just reach out. I didn't like it. I don't like people. I didn't like people at that time, but I knew that I wanted to grow, and I knew that in the discomfort zone is where growth happens again. So I would just say to strive to be in an environment. If you don't know where those environments are, it's because you're not looking hard enough. It simply was, Jason says a lot of time, everything you need is readily available on the internet. So it's as simple as literally Googling, like, oh, I want to be a nurse, or I want to be, you know, in real estate, or how do you lock up more deals, right? And not just like try to YouTube university everything, but just get in the atmosphere with those people.
Well, and you mentioned that you found Cam and Darren from social media. How would people connect with you there?
Social media, execute_Adams. Everyone thinks it's Executive Adams, but it's execute_Adams, just like you guys. And I honor and I'm definitely grateful for you guys and what you guys pour into me, and just always being available and being an open book as well. I'm always an open book. Feel free to message me. If you have any questions, grab coffee, whatever it is, any way I can add value to you. And I'm sure even I will learn from you as well. I'm always open.
Dude, thanks for coming on the pod. Is there anything else that you want to leave with the listeners before you wrap up? Obviously, we're going to have you back on.
No, I mean, just like anything, just giving all honor and credit at the utmost top where it's due, and that's God, that's Jesus Christ. The reason why I'm successful now, why I will continue to be successful, why you guys are successful, is because he's the anchor. So all of the disciplines, all of the mindset, everything that I have now is contributed and accredited to that being the base foundation and growing on that. And that's the most important thing that we would say probably on any podcast in this podcast.
1,000%. Dude, what a freaking perfect way to end the pod. We appreciate you coming on, bro. The freaking mic drop. There it is. Dude, thank you again. And thank you guys for tuning in to watching or listening, depending on where you're at. And we'll see you next week back on the Pursuit of Property podcast. Thanks, guys.